Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Title of my message today is Remember. Remember. Last week was Memorial Day, and up here on the communion table, you see some things that I have purchased through the years that help me remember. That's just the way I am. My wife has had to put up with me for years. But yet, whenever I see this particular wood carving or on the lathe, it reminds me of our trip to Alaska and our anniversary. Over here, Hawaii. And every time I see this, I remember going to Hawaii. And it helps you to remember. This I use to tease my mother-in-law. I told her if she didn't behave, we'd cremate her and we'd put her in the urn. She's not in there. We got that in Tennessee. This is one of my favorites. Got that in Oregon on our 30th anniversary. It's a puzzle. It all comes apart. Doesn't that sound like a good thing for your 30th anniversary? Because isn't your life things you put together to make who you are. To remember. Now you say, Pastor Paul, are those the only things you have to remember? Oh no. She sits right here. And she makes me remember. What is something that you will never forget? Well, how about when you graduated from high school? How many of you graduated? And Don and I graduated in 19-something. 500 and I believe 38 graduated with us. And I was dead center with my grade average. Dead center. We had a very intelligent school. Come on, folks. Go with me there. But I remember graduating there at Stevenson High School. Then I remember graduating from college and, well, 4 years later. And I remember thinking to myself, this will never happen. The Lord's going to come back and I would have been a student my whole life. But I remember that. Do you remember your marriage ceremony? A number of us were married in this very auditorium. Don and I were right here. I still remember being over there in the stairwell and my dad saying to me about the exit door, which is over there. He said, this is your last time to escape. I think he says that to everybody. And we came up the steps and out the door and came over here. My brother Bob, my friend Vernon, who was my roommate there in Texas, and then also Kim Robinson, and the four of us were standing here, and Donna showed up at the back of the auditorium, and I remember her coming down the aisle. I remember that. You probably remember when you got married. How about the birth of a child? I remember the first time I saw Matthew. Donna and I had been waiting over 9 months for this person to show up because at that time we didn't know if it was a male or a female. And he, as we found out, wouldn't drop. And her blood pressure began to rise and Dr. Van Zant said, you will either let me take the child today or you'll get yourself another doctor. And so at Arlington Memorial Hospital in 1974, Matthew Mark Madonna came into this world. And it was done in the surgical area. And the babies were on another floor. And they called me to the elevator where Matthew was. And they had not even cleaned him up yet. And he was still all yucky and whatnot. And I thought, oh. But I've never forgotten it. Our son Brian came a couple years later, and there are things you don't forget. How about that dream vacation? Or a job promotion? Or a serious illness? How about a death? Again and again, Moses tells the people of Israel to remember the Lord and what he had done for them. But let's read something that I'm sure that those that were involved never forgot. And if you would, let's stand together. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, though only a few verses long, that tell of your mercy and your grace. A story, Lord, that tells us that you will heal. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Sermon on the Mount ended with the parable of the two foundations, a house built on a rock or built on the sand. We stayed in Lincoln City, Oregon, at the Sandcastle Motel. The thing is, though, if you build a sandcastle there on the coast in Oregon, and especially if you build it at low tide, when high tide comes in, it's going to wash away the sandcastle. But when it comes to our spiritual house, we need to build it upon the rock, upon Jesus Christ. When Jesus had made an end of his teaching, he came down from the mount. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, he was met by a man who had leprosy. And that man asked for and received healing. And it is a day I'm sure that that man never forgot. I am sure that he told people on a regular basis, I had leprosy. He may have even explained, I had lost certain toes or fingers or ears or a nose, but look at me now. Today he never forgot. Now we find as he comes to Capernaum, it was a city located on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. He is confronted by a centurion. A centurion, of course, as you know, was a Roman commander of 100 men. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. But he had heard about Jesus. And he came asking that he would heal his servant. And I would dare say it was a day that he never forgot. I remember the day that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, I couldn't give you date, but I remember I was at home. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and I remember telling my parents that I needed to get saved. And I remember us kneeling there in the front room at 5085 Auburn Road and praying and asking the Lord to save me. I remember going to church that night, and my dad had said at the invitation time, you make sure that you come forward. My mother was leading the singing. My dad was giving the invitation. I was standing next to my grandma Madonna, and I'm not sure why she was there. But all of a sudden, the invitation started, and I started bawling because I didn't want to have to go forward. Oh, I was only, 6 or 7 years of age, and that was scary. But I remember asking the Lord to be my Savior. It's a day that I never will forget. There is probably a day in your life that you decided that you needed a Savior. But if there hasn't been that day, this could be that day that you will never forget because you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. If you would again, Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. And the centurion is saying, "For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." This man had said, "You don't need to come to my house to heal my servant. All you have to do is speak the words." And Jesus said, "What faith?" He had chided his disciples for not having faith, or having little faith, and here he talks about this Gentile who had great faith. How strong is your faith today? How strong is it? Let's read verses 11 and 12. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Many shall come from other areas." Aren't you glad that salvation is for the Gentile also? Aren't you glad that you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Verse 12 says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That there are those you that are of the Jewish heritage, you who to whom the Savior came, you will be cast out because you did not accept him as Lord. But there's hope in the Lord. Aren't you glad for the hope? Verse 13, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." 20 years ago, the city of Lincoln City, Oregon, began a promotion to draw people to their city. From October to Memorial Day, they would put blown glass floats on their 7 miles of sandy beaches. 7 miles that property owners can't say is ours. You can walk all the beaches of Oregon. They're public property. And Lincoln City has 7 miles. Now you say, well, what is a float? Well, they began originally to be blown in places like Japan where they would have nets and they would throw the nets out and they would have glass floats that would help keep the nets up. This, my friend, is a float. It was made somewhere in Oregon. And Don and I had purchased this particular float for Donna's parents. And since they have passed off the scene, it is now part of our home, and this is a float. And for 20 years now, the city of Lincoln City has put these floats out on the shore to attract tourists to come and what? To come and find them. To come and find them. The first time we were there, in the month of May, Don and I spent a lot of time walking the sandy beaches, looking and hoping to find one of the floats the city had put out there. We found none. The second time we went, we looked. In fact, I went to a waterfall, Driftwood Creek, Falls. Doesn't that sound nice? Driftwood Creek Falls. Wouldn't you like to be there today? It's only a mile and a half there and a mile and a half back. Yes, it's going downhill all the way, one way. Which means on the way back, it's a mile and a half coming back. And so I went to the waterfall, and Donna walked 6 miles along the beach looking for one of those floats from Shelts Bay. What was that? You're saying it differently than me. It was a bay. And she walked 6 miles up to the casino. Not to gamble, but that's about how far it was. And then she went and had pancakes. I went to the waterfall. She didn't find one. This year marked 20 years. And the city of Lincoln City decided that instead of having it from October to Memorial Day, they were going to have it all year long. On Memorial Day, they were going to put out 50 extra ones, red, white, and blue. Man, that sounded exciting. I mean, it sounds like everybody was going to get one. Nope. I looked. I go to places. I asked people. I said to everyone I met, have you ever found a float? And where did you find it? And I had people say, oh, I've never found one. And I had other people say, I found two or three. And I thought, man, I got to find one. Donna wants one. It was the last day. We were leaving at 8 o'clock to drive back to Portland, about 2 hours drive to get on a plane to fly back here. And I went out. And I began to think, I'm hoping I find one. How many people today are hoping for something? How many people today are hoping for peace of mind? They're hoping. And I'm walking and I'm looking, and what do they say about the Detroit Lions? There's always next year. There's always our next trip to Oregon. I didn't find one. I hoped. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time ye were without Christ, having no hope. Do you know if someone doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have no hope? Oh, they may be well educated. They may have a great job. They may have a very nice home and nice cars. They may have nice clothing. They may have a very good physique. They may be married and have children who are doing very well. But if they don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have no hope. Because at death, they will go to hell. You say, that sounds harsh. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. People send people to hell. God sent His Son so that we would have hope. That we could have salvation. It's people who say, well, I'll work my way to heaven, or I will go another way. But there's only one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. And Paul told the people there at Ephesus that without Christ, you have no hope. Psalm 31:24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Do you hope in the Lord? Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Our hope is in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:17b, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Listen to this verse from Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery is given to us that Jesus Christ came and died to save our souls. Our sins separate us from a holy God. But our Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt, the ransom, to save our souls. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Do you have hope today? If this was the day that your life would end, where will you spend eternity? In heaven or in hell? Do you have hope in the Lord? And one more verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. If I were to come down and I would begin asking you, what is your hope? What is your hope? Do you have hope in Jesus Christ? Tell me how you know you have hope in Jesus Christ. Tell me how you know that if you died today, you would go to heaven. Would you be able to do that? Do you have hope in the Lord? Oh, I went out looking for a globe. Do you think I thought I'd find one? I wished I'd find one. But I'm going to tell you this. I didn't think I'd find one. You know why I didn't think I'd find one? Because when I looked out my window at 6:30, there were people already out there. But I went because I thought maybe they wouldn't find it. But you know, I have hope in the Lord. Because a preacher proclaimed the hope. My desire is to proclaim that same hope, that you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can know Him today. Shall we stand together? And as we have a song of invitation, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, don't be embarrassed to come forward and ask. We have men and women here that would be glad to share with you about Jesus Christ and give you that hope. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that your hand of blessing would be upon this invitation time. Lord, you know the spiritual condition of each one that is here. You know, Lord, which one is still hoping and which one still is in need. We ask, Lord, now that you would bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.